This special broadcast of Governor Sean Parnell's State of the State Address is produced by 360
well, the House
North.
Please come to order.
I'm Rosemary Alexander. The governor will be speaking to a joint session of the Alaska House of Representatives and the Alaska Senate from the state capitol in Juneau.
Reform Rule 51, I turn the gavel over to the President of the Senate, the Honorable Gary Stevens.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The joint session will please come to order. The purpose of this joint session is to hear the State of the State and the budget message by the Honorable Sean Parnell, Governor of the State of Alaska. Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call of the Senate be waived and all members be shown as present.
Without objection, so ordered. Representative Osterman.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call of the House be waived and all members be shown as present.
Without objection, so ordered. Will Senator Menard and Representative Olson, Senator Menard and Representative Olson escort Governor Parnell to the joint session.
This is Parnell's first State of the State address as an elected governor. When he spoke to the legislature last year, he had moved into the job after Sarah Palin resigned. The governor will be escorted into the House chambers of the state capitol.
Ladies and gentlemen, the governor of the great state of Alaska, the Honorable Sean Parnell.
Good evening, and what a great night it is. Mr. Speaker, Mr. President, Lieutenant Governor Treadwell, and fellow Alaskans, thank you for joining us. The State of the State Address is a time to take stock of the progress we've made together. In 2010, while other states faltered, Alaska grew stronger. By most measures, we have made impressive strides together and strengthened our quality of life. Tonight is also the time to chart a course for the important work ahead. But first, let's take a moment to remember those that we've lost this past year. Tonight, we remember our military and our law enforcement heroes. They served with courage, they sacrificed their lives, and we are forever grateful. Last year, we also laid to rest two of our most beloved public servants, Senator Ted Stevens and Governor Wally Hickel. Senator Stevens once noted that many people doubted whether Alaska had what it took to be a successful state. You know, in his words, we proved that those doubters were wrong. Working with one another, Alaskans with great friends took control of our destiny. And together, we continue to shape Alaska's destiny, improving the lives of Alaskans in many ways. Working together, we positioned Alaska's economy for growth. While 48 other states lost private sector jobs, our state added them. Our unemployment rate stands almost a full point and a half better than the national average. Because of the work we've done together to tackle our deferred maintenance plan and to build our roads to resources, more Alaska contractors and their families have secure, well-paying jobs. I'm proud to report that last year, we funded more than 300 infrastructure projects. Alaska was one of only seven states that managed an increase, growing them at 2%, far better than the national average of minus 6%. Because of the work we've done together to lower passenger head taxes, more cruise ships and visitors are returning, and Alaska's family-owned businesses will thrive. Because of the work we've done together, our natural gas industry had a historic year. For the first time, companies bid gas toward a gas pipeline project, bringing us closer to a pipeline. Because of the work we've done together, new companies moved to Cook Inlet to take advantage of tax incentives and create jobs. And a new natural gas storage complex is under construction there. Our local economies benefited from the production of two major Hollywood films. One hotel saw an additional 12,000 bed nights, and these movie productions, I saw them myself. They meant hundreds of new jobs for Alaskans. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. You know, get ready for your close-up, Alaska. You know, 29 more productions have qualified for the Alaska Film Tax Credit. Because of the work we've done together, we opened the Southeast State Forest and now have an additional 25,000 acres available for sustainable long-term timber harvest. And the salmon harvest hit an 18-year high. That's one of the best years since statehood. Because of the work we've done together, Alaskans can now renew their driver's licenses and ID cards by mail. For our families living off the road system, this DMV improvement is a big improvement, and it's a big convenience. That's something you don't hear often, DMV and convenient in the same sentence, only in Alaska. Because of the work we've done together, entrepreneurs now have an easier time starting businesses. We streamlined business license applications and shortened the time it takes to form a business. We also combined two government divisions to cut duplication, to boost efficiency, and improve economic opportunity. At a time when most states face staggering budget shortfalls, we balanced our state's budget, cut taxes, and paid off debt that once exceeded $5 billion. As a result, Alaska today enjoys a AAA bond rating, which in itself saves the state millions of dollars in interest charges. And working together, we made Alaska's families safer. Because of the work we've done together, there are 15 more village public safety officers in communities that had no law enforcement presence. In fact, we went from having 47 filled VPSO positions in 2008 to 86 filled positions now. That means thousands more Alaskans, thousands, can call for help when they're in danger and they can get a timely response. Because of the work we've done together, more Alaskans have access to counseling and suicide prevention services, and more domestic violence survivors were sheltered and at last able to escape their abusers. And because of the work we've done together, we launched the Alaskans Choose Respect initiative. 18 communities held Choose Respect rallies and marches to courageously confront the evil of domestic violence and sexual assault. We gave more Alaskans permission to speak up and take action against this epidemic. And working together, we gave Alaska's children more access to life-transforming education. Because of the work we've done together, implementing the Alaska Performance Scholarship, this year, more than 9,000 high school seniors have the opportunity to earn scholarships for university or job training. And it gets better. In the next 3 years, 30,000 more Alaska high school students will have that same opportunity. 30,000. You all did that with our administration, and I'm very proud of you for doing that. And because of the work we've done together, more than 500 rural children in Kipnuk, Alakanuk, and Quigg will now have the opportunity to attend a brand new school, just like their peers in the organized areas of the state. Together, we've also renovated entire schools. We've added gyms and classrooms, sprinkler systems, space for vocational education all across this state. Our children will have more and better space to learn and to grow. Because of the work we've done together, post-secondary education will get supercharged by private sector donations now that we have boosted tax credits for gifts to Alaska's higher education and job training institutions. Alaskans, all Alaskans, the state of our state is measured. It's measured by the condition of our liberty, by the soundness of our economy, and the well-being of our families. Our state is on sound footing, and while 2011 will present significant challenges, together we will overcome them. First, I want to address the challenges to our liberty. When nearly 50,000 Alaskans cast their ballots for statehood, it was back in 1958, Governor Hickel spoke to those times, and he said they literally signed a contract. They didn't just say yes to statehood, they agreed to the terms of statehood. And that contract, like all contracts, cannot be changed without the consent of both parties. The federal government's expectation, its terms, were that together we Alaskans would develop our resources, build our own economic system, and become largely self-sustaining. We did just that by logging our timber, mining our minerals and metals, exploring for oil and gas, and harvesting seafood from our waters. These are the engines of our economy, past, present, and future. But today, the federal government owns 240 million acres, almost two-thirds of Alaska's 371 million acres. And Uncle Sam has posted a virtual keep-out sign on those lands. This is contrary to the federal government's promise, made not so long ago, that Alaska's resources would be available to economically support the people of this great land. Congress did not want Alaska to become a ward of the federal government, and neither did we. Indeed, at statehood, Alaskans were guaranteed a share of revenues from the development of federal land in our state. But when no meaningful development is permitted on federal lands, Alaska's share of no development is nada. It's nothing. No jobs, no production, no revenue, and it makes no sense. Federal agencies also engage in more subtle ways of stifling Alaska's economy. Take the EPA, for example. 5 years after completing its paperwork with the EPA, one company is still trying to get an air permit to explore the Arctic Outer Continental Shelf. 5 years. Why? When similar permits are routinely granted in the Gulf of Mexico in a matter of months, the EPA has no answer. Red tape is a needless drag on our economy. It's inefficient, and it comes at great cost to Alaska, especially where we are still working hard to build out our most basic road system. For most of the lower 48, the relationship between the states and the federal government was established 100, even 200 years ago. In Alaska, we're still defining that relationship, and they're still not returning our calls. Well, we demand to be treated as a state, not as a colony. The 49th state will not stand down. We engage regularly, reasonably, and aggressively at times with federal agencies. We fly to Washington to advocate in person, and we work diligently with our congressional delegation. But when persuasion fails, litigation prevails. Litigation is never our first choice. We prefer to coordinate rather than to litigate, to persuade rather than pay attorneys. But when pressed, we will take every lawful measure to protect Alaska's sovereignty and our right to develop our own resources. For these reasons, I mobilize our Department of Law to actively defend Alaska's interests. When the federal government threatened monument status for ANWR, we submitted a detailed legal analysis to the president, demonstrating that such a unilateral move would be illegal. We sued the federal government to lift the unlawful and unfounded Arctic drilling moratorium. We aggressively fight unwarranted listings and habitat designations. These federal actions threaten Alaskans' jobs and our economic potential, and the federal government must reconsider them. Alaskans, you can count on the Parnell-Treadwell administration to continue fighting for you so that together you have the right to determine our future. That's the way it should be. Without liberty, we cannot have a strong economy. So let's take stock of our economy and what we must do to keep it sound. Of course, there are many topics we could discuss tonight. Gas line, university, fish, workforce development, all are extremely important. But tonight, our focus is on three sectors of Alaska's economy: oil, energy, and mining. With the federal government thwarting job potential on public lands, it is up to the state to look for every opportunity to foster business investment and to grow private sector jobs. So the question tonight is, how do we continue growing an even more vigorous and diverse economy? And how do we create that gravitational pull for private sector investment and job growth? Well, it takes four things. Let's keep taxes low. Let's gain access to our resources. Let's invest in Alaska energy and strategically expand undeveloped resources. That's why this year, I'm asking that we work together to lower taxes on oil and create more jobs in Alaska. Let's build off the success of last year's tourism head tax reduction that pulled more investment to Alaska. Let's pass legislation to make our oil tax regime more globally competitive. Lower taxes lead to more resource development, and that leads to more jobs for Alaskans. And while we're at it, let's work together to keep more dollars in even more Alaskans' pockets. I'm asking you to help me pass legislation suspending Alaska's 8 cent per gallon motor fuel tax. The state has almost $12 billion in budget savings accounts. There is no need to nickel and dime Alaskans every time they pump gas into their truck, their car, their plane, their boat, their snow machine. There's no reason. Other states, like Illinois, they're busy raising taxes on their citizens by 66%. But Alaskans know that you create more jobs and opportunities for families with lower taxes. Low-cost access to state lands is also a key to unlocking more jobs. So let's work together to finish roads to significant resources in the next 5 years. If we can finish the road to Umiat and the road to the Ambler Mining District, we can create access and economic opportunity previously thought impossible. We can grow jobs in rural Alaska. Now, besides lower taxes and access to resources, energy drives economic growth. That's why this year, I know we can work together to enact the energy strategy that I've submitted. This comprehensive plan puts us on track to achieve the renewable energy goal that we established together under your leadership, that Alaska would derive 50% of our electrical power from renewable resources by 2025. Now, to get there, I'm asking you to move decisively and aggressively with me. Let's work together this year to invest at least $65 million to jumpstart planning, design, and permitting for the Susitna Hydro Project. Provide at least $25 million for renewable energy grants, $10 million for a Southeast Energy Grant Fund, and $25 million for that conservation element for weatherization. If we want our economy to become even more dynamic, we must also look to our untapped resources. Few people have ever heard of rare earth minerals, but rare earth minerals are of increasing importance in the world economy. These rare earth elements are used in almost every piece of electronic equipment you can think of: flat screen TVs, iPods, iPhones, radars, much, much more. Well, today, our Pacific Rim neighbor, China, controls 97% of the world market for these rare earth elements. Recently, they imposed trade quotas and increased tariffs on these precious commodities. And they announced it's substantially reducing access to these rare earth elements. These policies will cost Americans more of our hard-earned money and jeopardize national security. We cannot afford to rely on foreign sources to meet our nation's demand. And you know what? There may be no reason to. Alaska is a storehouse of rare earth minerals. Let's explore them. That's why this year we should work together to fund a strategic assessment of these minerals to determine once again how Alaska can help meet America's energy needs. Our economic condition is sound in part because of the vast potential we possess for resource development and for economic diversification. We can create more opportunity for Alaskans if we work together to lower taxes, to provide access to resources, to invest in energy, and to act strategically. Now, beyond that, I've already met with legislative leadership and many members here to express my willingness to work together to restrain government spending. I've asked the leaders gathered in these chambers to establish a spending limit with me early in session. That will help us all avoid that spending frenzy that can occur at the end of session. You know, as I've said in my inaugural address, the strength of our state cannot be measured in dollars alone. The success of our state must also be measured by the well-being of our families. And when it comes to the well-being of our families, there's nothing more vital than safety and education. Our Safe Homes, Strong Families initiative is the cornerstone. Last year, I set a goal to rid the state of this epidemic of domestic violence and sexual assault within a decade. Tragically, you all know we lead all other states in these crimes. Our children should be our next generation of leaders. Instead, they are being exploited and sexually abused. Well, behind every statistic is a real child with a soul, with a future. These are difficult words to utter, but working together, we will bring these issues out of the darkness and into the light. Let's work together to pass legislation to better protect our children from the manufacture and distribution of child pornography and against graphic texting. Let's better protect Alaskans and work together again to fund 15 new Village Public Safety officers and troopers. Let's work together to hold Choose Respect rallies in 40 communities this time on March 31st. And there, in those Choose Respect rallies, we can challenge more Alaskans to courageously speak up and take action against domestic violence and sexual assault. Together, we can end this epidemic. We can banish the shame, and we can embrace life without fear. There are many, many stories of heroism in our state. Then there are those who are heroes, not because of a single act, but by a lifetime of daily acts. Village public safety officers are those kinds of heroes. Two of them were to be with us tonight, but due to our Alaska weather, they did not make it in from Bethel. But let me tell you about them anyway, as they're probably watching us on Gavel to Gavel. Pretty special people. John Pleasant serves as a roving VPSO across the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta, and he's seen it all. He's pulled people out of the water, out of the ditch, and out of harm's way. He's responded to homicides and suicides, domestic violence and sexual assaults. He's coordinated volunteer search and rescue efforts, often single-handedly. And he has followed in the footsteps of his father, Wasily Pleasant, who recently retired as a village public safety officer. And so John and Wasily, if you are watching tonight, I want to personally say thank you and give you a thank you from this body here. And I do have some more good news to share about our VPSO program. Every position that was open in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta has been filled. We want more men and women who, like John and Wasily, step forward into those leadership positions. Because when a child is safe, he or she can learn. So let's turn our attention to education. Our goal is a transformational education for every student, one that adequately prepares them for post-secondary education and for good jobs. Now, we describe the Alaska Performance Scholarship as an invitation to excellence, but it is so much more. Every student willing to take the challenge of a more rigorous curriculum can earn these scholarships. Over the long term, these scholarships will have a profound impact on the quality of life in Alaska and on our state's ability to compete in this global economy. Even now in its early stages, we are seeing encouraging signs that the power of high expectations is taking hold all across Alaska. The Lower Yukon School District reports that several of its students stepped up to increase the rigor in their class schedules in order to meet the requirements of the Alaska Performance Scholarship. One of those students is with us today. Would you help me welcome Daniel Edwards of Russian Mission School and his mother, Helen? We're very proud of you, Daniel. Thank you for being here, too. So this year, Let's work together to pass a sustainable funding mechanism for these scholarships so these students' hard work will be rewarded. So, fellow Alaskans, the state of our state is strong. And together, the challenges ahead can be overcome. Our great state has been built on the firm foundation of our people and our resources. We must continue to invest in both. Our state government remains focused on growing our economy and providing safety and opportunity for all Alaskans. Our economy is stronger than most, and given access to our abundant resources, we are well positioned for continued growth. Our budget is balanced, and we've got the money in the bank to keep it that way. And while our liberties are threatened, we are fighting fiercely for Alaskans' right to chart our own destiny. So in conclusion, let's hold liberty high and taxes low. With those principles in hand and with the strength and spirit of the Alaskan people, we can put Alaska on even firmer ground. God bless you, and may God bless the great state of Alaska.
This has been Governor Sean Parnell's State of the State Address to the Alaska Legislature and Alaskans. In just a few moments, we will go to the response from House Democrats. Right now, the governor is being escorted from the chambers, shaking hands along the way. Tonight, he outlined his priorities for the year, but he spent much of the first half of his speech talking about the successes of last year.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the joint session stand in adjournment.
Without objection, this session is adjourned.
House, please come to order. Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the House adjourn until 10:30 a.m. Friday, January 21st.
House will adjourn until 10:30 a.m. Friday, January 21st. We're adjourned.
Governor Sean Parnell was a little bit more animated than in past speeches, and he spent much of the first part of his address talking about how Alaska's economy is better than other states. He went on to explain how his educational scholarship program is working and needs to be expanded. And then he went on to talk about how the state of the state in Alaska is measured by our liberty, the condition of our economy, and the safety of our families. He was talking about challenging the federal government when it lists many animals, such as the polar bear, as endangered species. Parnell administration has continued to sue the federal government on many issues this year, from polar bears to Arctic drilling. And then he talked about the fact that the state of Alaska would not be treated as a colony, but rather as a state. And he said when persuasion fails, litigation will prevail. On the economy, he talked about more oil development, and on Monday he did outline a proposal to reduce oil taxes, hoping that that would encourage more exploration and production. He had a little bit more to say about that tonight, but then he also went on to say that the state should suspend the 8 cents a gallon gasoline tax, and that would help Alaskans' personal pocketbooks. He wants to finish roads to resource development, specifically two mining areas in rural Alaska. And he also talked about jump-starting planning and permitting for the Susitna Dam. He plans on appropriating $65 million for that and $25 million for renewable energy grants, among other things. He also is planning on a strategic assessment of Alaska's minerals. And the governor, of course, continued on his theme that he started last year on initiatives to curb domestic violence and sexual assault. As we said, in just a few moments, we will have a response from House Minority Leader Beth Curtula. She is getting in place right now in the Fahrenkamp room just down the hall from the House chambers. You have been watching and listening Governor Sean Parnell's State of the State address produced by 360 North Public Television in Juneau, Alaska's capital. In just a few moments, we will have the House Democratic response. House Minority Leader Representative Beth Curtula of Juneau is getting in place, and she will respond to the governor's address.
Hi, I'm Beth Curtula. I'm the House Minority Leader. Thank you for being with us tonight. And I'm here to give you the vision of the House Democrats for this session and next year. So first, I want to start with the fact that, as the governor said, we lost two great Alaskans last year, men who helped shape this state and our future. And I want to acknowledge the heartfelt loss that we all as Alaskans felt about losing Senator Stevens and Governor Wally Hickle. They were men of great vision, and they helped build our state. So it's been a hard year. On the other hand, it's been an economically very, very sound year. So we're looking forward as Democrats to being sure that our legislative actions always have a direct line between it and opportunities for Alaskans. We think we need to create new opportunities and encourage new jobs. We need to lower the cost of energy, and we must be accountable to Alaskans. Creating opportunity, we believe, means creating jobs, good jobs for Alaskans. We need new industry and new players in the economy. We need to develop all our resources and find new ways to get them to market. We have to ensure that Alaskans have the training and education to get these good jobs. To attract new jobs, and I'm talking about doing this without giving away billions to oil industry, we have to lower the cost of energy, we have to prepare and educate our workforce, We have to make sure people and their families, children, have safe places to live. We have to keep our infrastructure up to the task. We lower the cost of energy because business needs to have good, affordable, cheap energy. We need to return to renewables. We need to continue weatherization programs. All of these things bring jobs and also help the economy. In preparing and educating our workforce, this has got to include everything from preschool through university. It has to include good voc tech programs. We have a couple of representatives in the caucus who have been particularly tireless on this. Representatives Tuck and Representative Guerra have both worked tirelessly on having parents as teachers and ensuring that children get the highest degree of education that they can have. In terms of making our community safe, I want to applaud the governor for his work on domestic violence. For far too long, this has been a hidden epidemic. And as the governor said, we have the unfortunate status of being the highest rates in the nation in domestic violence and sexual assault. I've seen much too much of this in our Alaskan families, and we must stop it. I agree with the governor that we have to do everything to assure that our children have safe homes and can grow up healthy and strong. In terms of our infrastructure, we have to invest in projects that look forward to the future, but we also have to remember that we must maintain our structures. We have to be sure to go back and be sure our older structures are safe and able for our workforce. I want to speak just a little bit about the oil industry and plans for this session because, as we know, it supplements 85-90% of our budget. And our view is that we need more development, more investment, and more jobs on the North Slope, and that those jobs should go to Alaskans. The governor's legislation favors subsidies. We favor competition. Giving money back to the oil companies at this point will not pay off for Alaskans. To increase competition, we need to level the playing field. We need to give smaller companies, the Anadarkos and Pioneers of the world, the opportunity to be able to develop the new fields and have access to the pipeline. This is a very critical point. Without this, we won't see the natural progression that we see in the oil industry around the world, and we will foreclose our opportunities for competition and for a strong and vibrant oil industry. We have to continue to support our gas line that many in the legislature and many Alaskans have waited many, many years to see. We are closer than ever before to getting that gas line. You know, we really are lucky to be in a good place financially. We have a permanent fund. All of us receive a dividend from that saved money, from our non-renewable resource that we have been wise enough to save. But we have to continue to save dollars and invest them. We have to be accountable stewards of Alaska's resources. We have to turn that non-renewable resource into renewable resource. Okay, if you can say that five times fast, you'll be better than I, but the idea is let's do what people did when we created the permanent fund. You know, when the permanent fund was created, we didn't have the school system we have now. We didn't have the roads. We didn't have the big oil industry. We were just starting. But the founders of our state, the men and women who served 20 to 30 years ago, were smart enough to say, we're not just going to pump the oil and give it away. We are going to save a percentage of that and put it in a fund for the future. And that's one of the reasons why we as Alaskans are benefiting today, while many in the lower 48 are in a very deep recession. Most of us have family or friends outside who are suffering, while we are not because of our strong savings. We have to do the things that all of us need to get to work. We have to maintain roads. We have to maintain schools so we can get our education. And again, I want to say we have to have strong families. And again, I want to end with thanking the governor for reducing and the effort to reduce the domestic violence situation and to help victims of crime. I think that we as a country and perhaps as a nation show our real humanity by how we reach out to victims of crime and how we deal with the families of those crimes victims. So our bottom line is, after finally getting our fair share of return on our resources, Alaska is in a great place to create more opportunities for Alaskans, and Alaska Democrats are working to make sure that Alaskans get those great opportunities. Thanks for being with me tonight. Thanks for listening to this response. Please feel free to call myself or any member of my caucus to talk about these or other ideas. And here's to a good working year in the legislature. Thank you.
This concludes our special broadcast of Governor Sean Parnell's State of the State Address to Alaskans and the House Democratic Response. Our program has been produced by 360 North Television. For more programming information, visit our website at 360north.org. I'm Rosemary Alexander. Good night from Juneau.